take the 30-day tempo challenge. Like, don't worry about the weight on the bar. Matter of fact, I don't even want you to write down the loads. All I want you to do is, on a given day, lift as heavy as you can with very strict tempo, you know, and follow the program precisely.
What is going on, ladies and gentlemen? Hope everyone is enjoying the holiday season, spending some time with those they care about, and having a little time off as we close out, or have closed out, 2017, and we officially begin the new year with episode 79 of Uncharted Performance. So with that said, hope everyone had a blast last night. This week's guest is back by popular demand. Marcus Filio of Revival Strength and Functional Bodybuilding returns to the show to kick off 2018. We catch up on family and training, then build off the base we established back in episode 65. We dive deeper into functional bodybuilding and the Awaken Training Series to discuss the evolution of the program from its inception of being a model of what Marcus's training looked like to having greater impact on other people based on his experience. We outline the progression of movements and how different training variables are adjusted during the program and moving forward, as well as emphasize the importance of tempo and time under tension. Our conversation is highlighted by the topic of commitment to change and being loyal to a process to reap its long-lasting benefits. If you are new to the show, we are the Lollapalooza / Burning Man of strength training and functional fitness. I am your host, Paul Wenzel, and our goal, as always, is to learn and apply from the best and brightest by dissecting and deconstructing the personal journeys and accumulated wealth of knowledge and experience to elevate our performance inside and outside of the confines of the gym, weight room, box, wherever you happen to train. When you have a moment, please leave us a rating and review on iTunes, Stitcher, or Google Play. It means the world of difference to us. And if you're looking for new equipment for your training, use that Rogue Fitness link on our website, unchartedperformance.com. Or if you would like to directly support the show, please jump on over to patreon.com/unchartedperformance. Last but not least, make sure to tag us on Instagram, Twitter, whenever you are catching the show. Shoot us an email, a direct message, Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter. We would love to hear from you. And with that, enjoy a conversation with Marcus and Happy New Year. And we are back with an old friend. Marcus, how are you, sir?
I'm wonderful, Paul. Thanks for having me back.
Without a doubt. I just want to start off with that the first episode that we did together, and we will link that up in the show notes, had an overwhelmingly positive response. It was actually our biggest and most popular episode as of that date.
So you're telling me I got surpassed by somebody since then?
I will leave that up, and I will leave that to your curiosity.
you got me motivated.
Yeah, so exactly. There might be one or two, but I think that's because of you. So, because you were you are very much a tipping point for the podcast, and I cannot express my gratitude and my thanks to you in terms of your support in not only setting up the podcast and then being very approachable and, again, supportive in helping us spread the word about the episode that we did and just Uncharted Performance in general. It was very refreshing, and again, I was overwhelmed by how kind of a person you are to work with. So thank you.
Oh man, well, that's great to hear, and to be honest, I'm grateful for opportunities like this and every opportunity I get to just speak to a new audience. And the questions that you ask are really what drive this thing. So thanks for doing what you do, because I don't know if I wouldn't have the patience to be a host of one of these shows.
Very cool. How is the family doing? That's my first question.
Oh, the family is good. I have to say, not sure when we spoke. I do remember when we spoke last time that the baby was pretty young, and we were like still we were, I don't know, life was still, I mean, she was maybe 5 months, maybe 4 months, something like that. So we were still in quite a bit of a haze as parents. We're at 10 months today, and she is doing fantastic, and we have small rhythms in our life back, but not all of them. And me and my wife are having just a blast with her. So awesome. Thanks for asking.
No, you're welcome. So something that I've noticed recently, coming out of Revival Strength, it seems to be I don't know, maybe a new fad, maybe a new movement, maybe that's something that will catch on. But obviously in California, you know, training topless is nothing, nothing new, I guess, so to speak. But training topless with beanies, shirtless. Let me say shirtless, probably more appropriate. But you guys are rocking the shirtless and the beanies. How did that come about?
I mean, that's a great question. I don't know how it came about. I started it last year. I actually we moved into, so two summer summers ago, we moved into what is our current location for Revival Strength. Mm-hmm. And it's not well insulated at all. So, you know, I know people are like, people from the Midwest, East Coast, colder climates, look at what we're doing. And we're like, oh, you're in California, it can't be cold. And I tell you, it is cold in that warehouse when we get there in the morning and throughout the day. I mean, it doesn't heat up. You know, we don't get a lot of direct sun during the day. And I mean, it might be, you know, hey, I wake up, it says 37, 38 on the, you know, car thermometer. But it could potentially be 32 in the gym. I mean, it's not warm. And so okay. I think you Midwesterners and you folks at cold climates, you have heaters in your gym. We don't have heaters in the gym. So it's chilly. It takes a little minute to get warmed up. And I'll start with a bunch of layers on. And I don't know. It's just like if I keep a beanie on and if I keep the, you know, the bottoms on, I can stay as warm as I want to. And of course, I don't love training with a shirt on. I mean, that's just not on brand whatsoever. I got to get that off. So it doesn't help the Instagram followers when I keep the shirt on. Come on.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's just like it feels good to have freedom of movement. But I see guys like, you know, I see people training with sweatpants on and no shirt. It's you know, I'm not the first person to do it. I just threw I threw the beanie on top of it.
Yeah, but now the problem with the brand is the hair too, right? You're hiding the hair now.
Well, I don't know if you saw, I did a recent little photo shoot thing. I had the long hair down underneath the beanie, so it was flopping around. I mean, I'm trying to work all the angles. I'm doing the best I can.
Got it. Well, I'll be waiting for the t-shirts or the official Revival Strength beanies when they come out.
Oh, yeah. We got official functional bodybuilding beanies, which are for sale on functionalbodybuilding.net, which dropped. And they are pretty hot. I wish I had, wish we were doing this video. I could show you right now. But yeah, we gave away two of them as white elephant Christmas party, holiday party gifts the other night. And they were a huge hit. There was a lot of stealing of the functional body beanie because they were so sweet looking. So,
oh, nice. What did you get for the white elephant Christmas party?
Well, you know, it's like you only participate if you bring a gift, right?
Okay,
so we had a bunch of members that didn't, you know, they didn't bring anything. So I donated my gift to somebody else so that they could participate. So I left empty-handed. But I'm okay with that. We got the real big one. The family white elephant happens on Christmas Eve, and I will be bringing the heat on that night.
Very nice. Very
I'm
nice.
Walking away with it.
So we'll obviously link those beanies up as well in the show notes if people don't know where to find them yet. I actually had a question about the size of the gym, Revival Strength in your facility. So what you see on Instagram, is that the size of the warehouse that you guys are training in?
Yeah, man. What you see is what we got. Right now we're about it's 1,400 square feet, but you got to take out the offices as well as the, you know, storage for our supplements. So it really is not a ton of space. We're moving in the new year into a larger space, which will be about twice the size, and it will really open up, you know, our ability to grow our membership on site, you know, and to continue creating good content for everybody to learn from, hopefully.
Got it. How's your training going? And what is the, the outlook for 2018?
My training has been up and down. It's, you know, it's consistent in that I make time for my hours, and I when I get out there on the floor to train, I focus. But, you know, last 6 months have been really heavily focused on building our business and building the reach of Awakened Training Systems and Revival Strength Coaching. And, you know, not to say that I like don't prioritize my training or I don't prioritize my fitness, because I still do. It's been a notch down from what I've come to know from the past 6 years. Mm-hmm. So, I don't want to say I'm not, you know, at my fittest, you know, because how do you really measure and define that? But what I can say is that, you know, I'm starting to try to make some shifts in my in how I'm prioritizing things now that the business is growing a little bit, and, you know, try to delegate some more tasks so that I can find a little bit more downtime to heal my body. Because that's I've been in the training game long enough to know, like, you can only give as much as you take time to recover. And so I know that my life is pulling me in these other directions, baby, family, business, et cetera. I just, you know, I can't bring as much intensity to my training. So if I really want to ramp up my training for a 2018 season, or potentially like a, you know, a 2018 fall out of season competition series, 2019 type of thing, I need to start, you know, shuffling some things around. So that's kind of where I'm at right now. I'm sort of leaning towards, you know, 2018 not being another CrossFit game season for me, just to continue to focus on this really critical first year of business and get us, you know, solidified for some years of good growth ahead. And but that's kind of my current mindset.
Got it. And congrats on the growth. And actually, it's a great segue to I hope what we're going to get into a little deeper as we go. And that is we teased, I think, our audience with functional bodybuilding and Awakened Training Series at a kind of higher level. Since then, I've been a participant of Series 1.0. I actually started fresh, and it was actually perfect timing. We just got back from a kind of a long vacation, a couple 2 weeks, you know, hiking the Highlands of Scotland, and basically I reset, hit the reset button on literally everything training and fitness related, because I come back and I'm totally just spent. And starting a new program at that time is ideal for me personally. And it's been a really good, actually awesome training experience, but also learning experience from, I guess, a coach perspective, not just an athlete. It's something that I've had the opportunity to talk to, obviously more after we did the episode, to, you know, fellow athletes, fellow coaches, and on other podcasts as well. And again, I think we talked about a little briefly how it's kind of spreading, the message is spreading, and I think continues to do so, which is very, again, I'm going to probably use this word too much, refreshing to see in terms of the program design and the offerings that are kind of being provided to different memberships. But what I want to do today is kind of, I guess, take a deeper level, maybe starting at Series 1.0 and kind of, or just in general, and then whittle it down in terms of the program design and how you actually went about developing the programming for the Awakened Training Series. And that's literally, and you can start basically from inception, and I will kind of turn the mic over to you, because this is the most I've talked in a while.
I was just like, this is good, man. I'm getting the full backstory. This is great. I'm happy to talk about a lot of it. You know, it's, I'm in the middle of writing 4.0 right now. Mm-hmm. And, you know, 4.0 will be, what it'll do is it'll really create a start, kind of a start to finish year long training mm-hmm. series. If you put together 1, 2, 3, and 4 with the weeks that we take as sort of deload and break after each one, it's 52 weeks. And that to me is, you know, it's something that I'm proud of because there's an evolution that happens through 1, 2, 3, and 4. There are common themes. There are things that will really stand out as uniquely Awaken Training Series, functional bodybuilding throughout. But, you know, you go from 1 to 2, 2 to 3, you'll see that there is development that's happening. And that, I think, is, you know, if people have had a positive experience with 1.0, it's like, okay, well, here's the year-long Awaken Training Series kind of opportunity that you can take. You know, we're calling it you know, your commit to change process, because it's, you know, we'll launch the first week of the new year, and you could see yourself, you know, in 2018 following this progression from start to finish. And there's so much to learn as an athlete, as you said, as a coach, and I think just as a person in committing to something for that long. So, you know, my biggest lessons over the years through training have been the commitment to a process with one coach, with one program. You know, I haven't program hopped. I've been a program, you know, a loyal program person for 7 years, you know, coached under the same coaching philosophy, two separate coaches, but under the same business. And to me, that's really given me a lot of learning as a person. Mm-hmm. And I hope that's what people can gain from it as well by following. But, yeah, from inception, it was really, you know, creating some principles that I've always just learned and I've been a student of through my own training. I mean, somebody asked me earlier today, I happened to actually do another podcast, mm-hmm. and they asked me what's my biggest like asset, or, you know, what can I do that's so uniquely me? And what I feel is that I've played the athlete coach role very well, in that every time I've participated in the sport or I've really engaged in my own training, I'm a student of like, okay, how is this going to impact other people? How can I use these principles, these feelings? Like, what does it feel like to do this press at this tempo followed immediately by this other movement? Wow, that's a profound feeling, and that's not something I felt before. I need to take that couplet or that superset, and I need to put it into a package that I can give to a beginner, an intermediate, an advanced person. Mm-hmm. I can put it into a templated training program. And that to me has always been my biggest like teacher, is the doing of the training or the doing of the competition. So I'm not the most studied, you know, exercise physiologist, scientist. I don't read a ton of training journals. That's not who I've learned the most from. I've learned the most from having coaches that have guided me and then using my training itself to really create the, you know, principles by which I teach other people. Mm-hmm. And that's really how Awaken Training Series from a program design perspective was created. It is truly a reflection of everything I've ever done in training, you know, over the past many years, and most heavily influenced by the last 18 months of my fitness journey.
Got it. So you just mentioned that with 4.0, we're looking at a year-long commitment to change, taking your word.
That's right. Yeah.
When you sat down to write 1.0, was that the intention to develop, you know, this kind of year-long process? Or was it just, let's do 1.0 for 3 months and design it in such a fashion and then evaluate? Or was it continue to develop?
Yeah, when I first started, I was It was more of the latter, what you just said. It was, okay. You know, there was an audience that was kind of demanding this access to training that I had. You know, it was like demand is not the. I mean, there was demand, but it's not the right word. It was peak interest for a phase of like 3 months where, you know, audience members on social media were not satisfied with just the posts anymore. It was like, hey, how do I do what you're doing? I really got to do what you're doing. And it was before my business was like our individual coaching business had launched big enough to a point where we could handle a lot of, you know, clients coming on, and I wasn't taking personal clients at the time. I was already capped at my limit. So I'm like, gosh, I just, you know, aside from writing a group program that I could post, I don't know what else to do. And, cause I wanted people to experience this stuff for sure. And, so I saw an opportunity, and thankfully I had somebody approach me at the time who was an expert in launching digital products like this for a variety of different industries, but she was specifically interested in fitness, and she was like, hey, let me help you put together something, you know, and get the message out there, get the training program out there. So it was really just like, okay, I got all these people asking me, I've always wanted to engage with the social media audience and just the internet and really like be an educator. I felt like this was the tool I had available to me to do that. Mm-hmm. So I was like, okay, write this thing. I got to get it out there and let's just, you know, it's a one-time deal. We'll just see what happens. Like, I'm not putting a lot of stock into this as like a long-term approach to anything, to business. And just the first round of it, the response was overwhelming. So, and there were people that really, it was the feedback that we were getting kind of midway through around week six that folks were like, hey, we want to do 2.0, or is there another do at the end? I was like, oh gosh, I better hit the computer and start designing 2.0. So that's how it kind of evolved from there. But no, I didn't intend on it being a long process like this.
Because that's rather interesting, because my first variable question is going to be why 3 months, not four, but you chose certain variables and to elicit kind of a desired stimulus and response within those 3 months, right? And we're not seeing full snatches or, you know, full cleans necessarily. So how did you, again, decide on 3 months and not four? And then on some of the, I guess, exercise selection and progression of those movements within those 3 months.
Yeah. Well, certainly with 1.0, the overarching theme was simplify movements.
Okay.
And get down to, and to be totally and completely transparent, I modeled that first 12-week program very much around a 3-month phase of my own training that I was going through that was getting a lot of the social media attention.
Okay.
And if people heard my story, this was a period of time where I was dealing with a pretty bad shoulder injury. I was in, you know, just a very inflamed shoulder without a diagnosis or images to tell me what was wrong, just knew that it was messed up and I needed to back off, and my coach understood that. And so he implemented a lot of movement selection that was like, you know, keep the shoulder healthy, rebuild the scapula, get it to, you know, get some movement back in the shoulder blade and, you know, learn stability. So, a power snatch or a muscle snatch or power clean, landmine presses, lots of side planks, lots of kettlebell carries, you know, lots of that were appropriate at the time for me, doing full snatches and lots of overhead work, and I just couldn't tolerate it. So, you know, that influenced the exercise selection of that first series. Really, it was also like, okay, let's reduce intensity, let's slow things down, let's approach training from a quality first before quantity, or quality first before intensity. This is where we started to really, I think, my coach and I really started to develop functional bodybuilding principles through this period of time working together. And so that was going to pour out onto the page in Awaken Training Series 1.0, was what is a blend of slow, high time under tension or tempo driven, strength training with dumbbells, kettlebells, barbells, mixed with some conditioning work. What does that look like? How do we use really isometric contractions, straight arm, bent arm carries, and single leg, single arm training? How do we use that to develop the patterns necessary to perhaps come back to doing touch and go jerks or snatches? That's really what 1.0 I think stands for, and it's build your base so that you can evolve into something more complex later.
Got it. Can you just, if you don't mind, re-emphasize the importance of tempo?
Sure.
We talked about it kind of briefly in our first episode, but can you just re-emphasize it? Because I think it might get lost in terms of what the intention is of that, and how it can lead to improved performance over time.
Sure. Yeah, I'll touch on that, and then we can come back to the 3 versus 4 month question. Just totally spaced on that. Sorry.
It's all good.
Tempo is, as it was taught to me years ago by James Fitzgerald, it was basically, as a coach, it's a way of having control over movement in your athletes. So, if you do a squat, right, and you go down and up really fast with 150 pounds on your back, versus if you do a squat with 150 pounds on your back and you go down really slowly and then up fast, there's a different stimulus.
Mm-hmm.
Similarly, if you are in a week after week squat cycle progression, and you 1 week do, 200 pounds for 5 reps in the squat, and you do those 5 reps consecutively with no breaks, and then the next week you come by and you do 5 more reps at 220 pounds, except for this time, your 5 reps, you take 3 second breaks in between each repetition. Somebody might leave the gym and be like, well, I got 20 pounds stronger this week. And the variable that wasn't controlled for was the tempo or the cadence that you did the reps.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you did reps, and maybe you did it for the same amount of sets as the week before, but you didn't really control that speed by which you were lifting it. And those 3 extra seconds you took between each repetition, they matter. They impact how, your body's ability to produce force, across the range of motion. So, when we prescribe tempo, I remember in the group class setting many years ago, trying to introduce tempo to people, and they were getting frustrated. And I was like, and I can understand it because it was a new concept and it's difficult. You got to count in your head and it's like, it's new, right? And everyone's got a different internal clock. Like,
yeah, that's a big one.
Like the person that counts slow. They're like, I just don't want to do tempo. And I'm like, well, then why the fuck are you counting your reps? Like, who cares? Like, oh, but they count their reps religiously, and they count the weight on the bar, but they just didn't want to get in, I don't want to bore myself with this tempo stuff. It's too much to think about. And, it kind of make me laugh. It's as important, it's more important in many ways, because a combination of tempo and repetitions determines the time under tension in a specific movement pattern. And that is really what creates, in a weight training environment or bodybuilding environment, that's what creates the dose response. Like that's it. That combined, of course, with, how much volume you're doing, how many sets, and then the rest periods. But that tempo with the reps is so key. And then additionally, tempo, as I mentioned, it gives you an opportunity to control movement for your athletes. Well, you can control specific parts of movements. You can emphasize different ranges of motion that you find to be more important for an athlete or important in a movement pattern or a superset or some workout that you're creating. So if you really want to build up the strength of somebody's bottom position in their squat, well, let's provide them with an opportunity to do some pauses in their squat. And then you write in with specific, you know, prescriptions in their workouts. So those are to me like what, you know, everything is tempo. If you're doing touch and go reps, that's a tempo. It's just a fast tempo. And, you know, if you're doing strict, you know, pull-ups, there's a tempo there. And then there's, you know, there's time and a place to just say, hey, let's just take the tempo out and let's just move freely. And we like to do that too. I mean, as a way to kind of give people a mental break so that they can just appreciate the freedom of movement. We balance that. So it's not one way highway, but certainly there's an underappreciation of why movement at specific cadences, under control, or at least the control of the coach over the movement of the athlete is so important.
A lot of really good trainers start fitness businesses, and most of them are out of business within a year. Fact. Why? Being a good trainer, having equipment and a box are only a small part of having a successful fitness business. You have to tackle expenses, overhead, books, taxes, employees, and marketing, just to name a few. The Masters in Fitness Business podcast, hosted by Jim Adams, helps trainers climb the learning curve from trainer to business owner without making mistakes that will drive you out of business. You get to stand on the shoulders of giants as Jim interviews successful fitness business owners and discuss their mistakes and successes. Hosted by an actual fitness business owner who interviews actual fitness business owners, no fake internet gurus, only people in the trenches day in and day out doing the actual work to be successful, and wanted to share that experience with you. I am a bit of a podcast junkie myself. It's a great way to learn, especially when commuting, meal prepping, and even training, depending on what the day calls for. And I'm always excited to discover new channels. Once I heard about Jim's podcast, quickly listened to a few episodes, and I am now a proud subscriber. Don't wait. Definitely include the Masters in Fitness Business podcast in your library. And make sure to leave Jim a stellar rating and review. It is certainly well deserved. For the link to Jim's podcast, make sure to check out the show notes of this episode at our website, unchartedperformance.com. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, enjoy the rest of the show. Take care, guys. Yeah, and I was certainly the bro, quote unquote bro inside me. Initially had a tough time of letting go of the, I guess, the numbers on the bar.
Rough, right?
Yeah, and that 3 second with, you know, eccentric with a, you know, just hypothetically with a 1-2 second pause at the bottom, it seems like an eternity. And I got into a practice of actually taping myself to catch myself if I'm actually, you know, doing the reps at the appropriate tempo. Because you have a tendency to go a lot quicker with a heavier load,
it's kind of like, you know, take the 30-day tempo challenge. Like, don't worry about the weight on the bar. Matter of fact, I don't even want you to write down the loads. All I want you to do is on a given day lift as heavy as you can with very strict tempo, you know, and follow the program precisely, and. I saw people even like, you know, break out the metronome app on their phone. So it's like they play it over the loudspeakers in the gym. It's like, tuk, 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 you know, like these That's loud serious, metronome. Yeah. And which, I mean, if you want to take it seriously, you can do that. Or if you have a training partner that wants to count it out for you, or if you want to film yourself and kind of, you know, do a little spot check on your own counting. But it's kind of like if do the 30-day tempo challenge and then see what happens, you know, for your the way you feel, the way you move, the strength that you end up being able to test in like a testing scenario. I think the response has been pretty amazing with people, you know, hitting movement PRs in Awaken Training Series. You know, in the final weeks, there are opportunities to kind of push yourself to 1RMs, and I think people who've been training for a while and haven't seen some PRs in quite a bit of time are surprised to see how lifting sub-maximal of their potential at, you know, defined tempos and cadences has a pretty serious effect.
Yeah, and I can attest to that personally, you know, again, coming back from that trip and then going through a program and going through tempo work as best I can. I'm not going to lie, I was perfect every time. Maybe rusted a little bit a few times. But how it then translates to some of the, when we get to the movements where there is no tempo, it's kind of freaky and unreal how it does translate. And I got into the rhythm of doing tempo when it wasn't, I guess, going tempo and controlled when the program didn't call for it necessarily. Which is, I guess, a little weird mind trick that, you know, I am kind of slowing myself down when I can actually go a little faster, but sure. still gaining in, you know, quote unquote numbers, if that's your thing. But going back to, go ahead. Sorry.
I was just going to give my own personal anecdote. I had my own kind of like experience with like, whoa, this stuff kind of works. You know, I really spent the better portion of a year not doing anything close to maximal in the Olympic lifts. I was just doing functional bodybuilding, really, you know, my training with lots of tempo work and the squat, single leg work. And, it was a few months ago. I don't remember how many, three, you know, my coach put me through some testing and I had like a one rep max. Actually, it was like build to a max in the, one clean plus two front squats. So it was basically three front squats from the floor. Mm-hmm. And I PR'd my clean by 10 pounds and did two front squats on top of it, which blew my mind. I was just like, my God, I haven't picked up more than 310 pounds in the clean in over a year. And I just hit 365 for a triple in the front squat from the floor. That was a pretty exciting day for me. And what it reminded me of is, you know, if we follow good training principles, we are attentive to balancing our needs of intensity and recovery and low intensity and finding the right balance, you know, given what your life looks like. Because I couldn't handle doing heavy, heavy lifting and a lot of intensity. But on one weekend when my coach said we're doing testing and I could, you know, I had taken care of myself, I got a good night's sleep, my adrenaline could kick in, I could ramp it up, I could get excited, I could have a little extra coffee, and I could go into the gym, and all the patterns were there and trained and strong from good, thoughtful training, and I could clean the most I've ever cleaned in my life. So and that's another big part of Awakened Training Series, to teach people that principle of like, you know, you don't have to push it every single day to be able to show up on game day to push it. You know, we're built to just be able to sprint away from the lion. Like, we have that inside of us. What you can't make up for on game day is, have you put in the work and the reps to build up a base of fitness and strength to support you when you want to go fast and when you need to go fast? Yeah,
and I had a similar experience. I think last week when there was a snatch, muscle snatch complex, power snatch complex. It was like, I just did this three times as many times as I did in the past with the same amount of weight, which is okay. let's go. I'm feeling good. I found myself at times getting too excited and having to not increase the load week over week too much, kind of dial back a little bit to not over, I guess, exceed too quickly. Because sometimes I think a lot of us have a tendency to do that. Hey, I just PR'd this, like, and let me add 20 more pounds and then kind of plateau. Just slow yourself. I mean, it was an awesome day, but just kind of slow myself down and I just stay here for today and we can move on next week. Because like you mentioned, it is this commitment to change and we're looking forward. I am, the 2.0. So I want to continue to see, you know, progress with not only the loads, but more importantly, the movement and how I'm feeling overall.
Yeah.
And the funny thing about the conditioning piece is, I don't think we ever go over 90%. If we do, it's rather rare. But when I'm very privileged to be a coach and very fortunate to have the opportunity to work with my classes in class sometimes, at least once a week, and jumping in on a class and being able to, you know, hold your own and do really well when they're going kind of max all out, it is selfishly speaking a very gratifying experience.
There you go. Yeah. I mean, I had a client that gave me kind of similar feedback the other day, and it's the idea that by training, you know, and she was saying like training sub max, you know, she hasn't pushed it, but when she jumped in on a class with a friend recently, you know, she was really blown away by her ability to just kind of not only keep up, but outperform most people. And at the same time, not feel like she was, you know, going to die because she was going so hard and frantic, you know, and that's something that, from the conditioning, you know, workouts that we give, in Awaken Training Series, I really wanted to emphasize was that, you know, the key to success in mixed modal conditioning or mixed modal workouts is to learn how to do it really well at 85 to 90%, and that's just like, that is everybody's secret who plays the game at the highest level. You know, nobody is blacking out on, you know, these workouts halfway through. They're trained enough to know that that's not how you have success. So, if you do enough of them at 90%, you know, gosh, whatever, you're like, well, what's the percent? Is it my heart rate? Is it? I'm like, it's just a thing. It's a feeling. It's like, you know, I'm not going all out, but I'm also not coasting. You know, I got to find something that feels sustainable for me. And so that to me is kind of another special aspect of ATS. And it's something that a lot of people, I think, experience. And they're afraid of it because they're like, oh, shoot, if I'm not going 100%, if I'm not going full tilt boogie, you know, I'm going to get past. Someone's going to go faster than me. I mean, shoot, we see it every year in the Open. It's like people blowing up on the first round. It's like, how did you think that was going to end? You just went crazy fast at the beginning.
Yeah. One other thing you mentioned is recovery. And what's, again, refreshing is the type of recovery that we do is not necessarily what people might think of as recovery in the gym sense. So obviously there's days when we kind of go in the gym and do some mobility, some soft tissue work, some kind of movement rehab, but also just days to be mindful outside the gym.
Really.
Which is like, I've done a few programs in the past, and I was guilty of program hopping in the past as well. But when a program says, you know, go hiking or spend time with your family and friends, it's first a little weird because you don't expect that. But again, it might be even better recovery for you than going into the gym and rolling around with a you know, foam roller or a lacrosse ball.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's in line with everything else we've talked about. It's like giving people a fresh look at training, at the way fitness can, you know, blend in with your life. And I don't know. I mean, it's all my own biases. It's all my own stuff I feel like is important. And, you know, people resonate. A lot of people are attracted to what my message is and they resonate with it. And so, you know, I feel like as I'm writing 4.0, and just for the listeners who haven't experienced Awaken Training Series, you know, Thursday and Sundays are rest days in the program, and Thursdays, you know, there'll be something movement related to do on that day, but it's not, as you said, it's not necessarily gym, you know, go to the gym and do something. It could be get outside. It could be go for a walk. It could be, you know, find a pool and try and get in there and move around. And this is why being underwater is good for you, et cetera. And then Sundays are really encouraged to not do anything active, but to, you know, here's a thought exercise, here's something to think about, here's something to do. In this 4.0 series, we're, you know, I'm giving out some nutrition recipes. I'm talking about some visioning exercises people can do. And all of it is, you know, I think we can lose sight of like the big picture of like, well, what's fitness for? Oh, it's for improving our life and like helping us to, you know, live long and prosper. It doesn't necessarily just have to be about, you know, improving my squat snatch numbers and, you know, going faster. I mean, it can be that. It certainly can be that. And for a period of time, if people are really committed and focused to being the best athlete that they can be, then by all means. But some of these other tools that I talk about on recovery days and rest days are tools that I've used to have longevity in the sport. You know, it's to balance a little bit of the, you know, the all-consuming energy that can be the gym and can be the box. Everyone's like, I want to spend all my time there. It's like, and it's really refreshing if you get away from it for even just a day, you'll come back hungrier the next day and you'll train that much harder. Yeah.
Awesome. So I think we started the last 20 minutes trying to figure out why 3 months versus four.
right. And why, I don't know. I think it was, I think I had a conversation with, you know, my partner in this, Satya, and we were like, you know, I've done some programs in the past, written some things, some nutrition challenges, et cetera, you know, 8 weeks, 4 weeks. None of it ever seemed long enough to really like stick for people. Uh-huh. Plus we're going to develop, you know, go through some progressions, you know, 8 week training cycle, 4 week training cycle, not really enough for people. And then there's, you know, on the other side of it, it's like, you know, four months is maybe it's pushing it. It's like, okay, you know, these are going to be these are kind of introductions to training concepts. So if we take it out over 4 months, then I was like, okay, I'm going to probably have to I'm going to have to introduce multiple, you know, multiple different things within this 4 month period. And, you know, I'd rather simplify it, you know, and make it, make some of the principles really stand out for people.
Okay.
Yeah.
So a lot of what I've noticed, I guess, from a programming standpoint, there's obviously a sense of linear progression, and then with kind of variability in terms of rep schemes, load tempos, and then building on top of movements again with load tempo and complexity, a lot of unilateral work. It seems there's like a lot of posterior chain dominance in some of the weeks that we've done. A lot of core, which yeah. I was not used to. But I think I'm better for it, especially in the warm up and then during a workout. So that lit me up the next day. A lot of rowing and assault bike as well, which was not something that I was looking forward to, especially on the assault bike. My question is, I think specifically because this kind of beat me up, is usually, I guess, a more intense row or row workout, a workout including rowing, followed by, you know, squatting and kind of lower body dominant day. That kind of, I don't want to say beat me up, but I definitely felt it. And I want to just kind of understand better why we would include a more intense row before, I guess, a more intense squatting day.
So you're talking about Tuesday to Wednesday?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
The turnaround, Tuesday to Wednesday. Well, I could give you some – I could come up with some really, you know – I don't know. I suppose I could just make something up right now that sounds scientific and thoughtful.
No, I'm just looking for an honest answer.
Yeah, no. I mean, the way you got to remember back to what I said earlier, which is that this design was built around, you know, and the split happens to be built around a similar split that I followed for a period of time.
Got it.
So, you know, the training split with a Tuesday which is actually, you know, the Tuesday session is meant to be kind of a, your hit of intensity in the week.
For sure.
And it's, you know, it's the one day where we do kind of like a real true kind of Metcon, right? That's like some bending, often bike or a row. You know, it certainly starts out one way, but by the, you know, middle of the 12 weeks towards the end, it really can get pretty aggressive, some of these workouts. And then on top of that, also know that I'm a pretty good squatter. And so squatting was never prioritized. And certainly when I was recovering from shoulder stuff, it was not like, it wasn't emphasized. So by putting, you know, my double leg knee flexion as my third day of training in the week, you know, it didn't, it fit my design.
Got it.
Like I said, everything I've done, I always like think about, I'm like, okay, how is this, right? Like what does it feel like to do a pretty tough grinder on a Tuesday and come back on Wednesday and try and squat, you know? And I get it. It's like, so you're not at your best by any stretch. But I also thought, well, that's why is that, you know, why do we need to be at our best squatting? You know, what if that actually forces people to dial back their loads a little bit, you know? And what if by moving squat to day three, which in many people's program, it's day one, you know, like Monday is like almost, it's like international squatting day. It's like everyone gets done with the weekend, they come in, they squat. I was like looking around at my coaches and the programs that they're writing, and I'm like, okay, everybody's writing their clients to squat on Monday. I'm like, what about doing some dumbbell bench press on Monday? You know, what prioritize upper pushing on that day, which people have seen in Awakened Training Series. It's like Monday is their close grip bench press, press day or dumbbell bench press day. And yeah, I mean, right from the get-go, it's like, whoa, this is different, you know? And I think in week one, people realize like, I'm not getting the, you know, the typical thing with, Awakened Training Series. But yeah, it, you know, the benefits, I think I just hit on some of them. It's that, you know, you're coming back on day three, which I often have found, Wednesday as kind of the most, it builds the most character in me as an athlete, because Mondays and Tuesdays, you know, on top of training hard, it's also the start to a new week. So work pressures, it's whatever, you know, the Monday pressures, stresses are there. And so by Wednesday, you know, I never have everything that I, you know, had on Monday or on Friday or on Saturday. It's just, it often is the toughest day of the week. And so, you know, why not put some of the toughest movements or the most, you know, CNS driven movements on Wednesday to challenge you. And funny, it's bringing up something else that just happened today. My client, who's visiting from out of town, she's a regionals level athlete. She's really quality, mover and just high level. I crush her on Mondays and Tuesdays with upper body push and pull. I mean, she probably did 60, 70 muscle ups in the last 2 days. And she was like, gosh, my arms by Tuesday night are just wrecked. So I'm not looking forward to Wednesday when you make me do like 200 wall balls. And I was like, good. I'm glad you're not looking forward to it. I'm like, that's the point. Like, you're training for a sport or you're training for something. You're trying to better yourself. And guess what? You know, when you're at regionals and there's 100 wall balls at a 20-pound ball for females and you're dying, you're going to be picking that thing up faster than somebody else. And you're going to remember Wednesdays. You're going to remember how much they sucked. You remember how tired your arms were from doing so many muscle-ups. And other people are going to be, you know, they're not going to know what the hell hit them. So Wednesday's a character building day for sure.
Got it. So we're, I think, at around 50 minutes. So I'm going to start winding down because I know you have more important obligations to get to. But just a couple quick, again, pretty selfish questions on my part. So looking forward to 2.0.
Yep.
Can we expect more tricep accessory work? Like maybe skull crushers, some push downs, anything like that?
Without going and reviewing the full pro, I cannot tell you off the top of my head.
Got it.
What I can tell you is that we do a bit of a handstand push-up progression throughout 2.0, which I find to be one of the most, I think one of the best parts of it. As well, there's quite a bit of, there's a big tempo push press build, which is also, you know, both of those together, because there's a lot of strict deficit eccentric work in the handstand push-up, as well as really slow eccentric push press work. And the combination of those two is pretty good tricep building. Really good tricep building stuff.
Got it. So with the, I guess the year turning, it's CrossFit open season time for a lot of people, including myself. What do you suggest or your advice to individuals like myself that will be doing the open and following the program at the same time? How to continue with the program, how to, I guess, time the workouts and whatnot?
Great question. We're starting to get this a lot. And I think the first question that needs to be asked is, you know, what is somebody's, like, how are they, you know, what does the open mean to them? And what is their goal with the open? What's their intention? Why are they doing it in the first place? Because within that answer kind of lies the suggestions that have, you know, how do you fit this program into it, right? If you're truly like, I gotta win, I gotta do the best, I want to make it to regionals, I gotta be on this team, I gotta, you know, I feel like those people that are in that category, they should know at this point, if they've been doing it for a couple years, like they know what it takes to really be at their best for the open. Now they can do the bulk share of the Awakened Training Series workouts, then they're going to see, okay, I'm not getting maybe this part of my training that I usually get leading up to the open. I should do a little bit extra of that. But that's a select group of people. Like I really think like people who want to do well in the open, or just have it as like a good positive experience, competitive experience, you know, give themselves a goal, something to keep them focused and accountable to their own training and recovery needs. I think that, you know, Awakened Training Series can be a great, you know, a great foundation for them to build to get there, right? It's, you know, we're improving movement quality, we're improving muscle endurance and aerobic fitness through high time under tension weight training, actually. And then, you know, again, there's doses of intensity throughout the weeks. So it really could serve people well. Now with that said, if you're like a super competitor, like there are competitive training blogs that are out there that, you know, might serve you better in preparing for the open. This is not an open prep course. That's for sure. This is more of a long-term, you know, long game approach to building fitness and having a healthy balance in your life and getting a lot more out of it and potentially looking better, you know, through your training, because there's a, you know, an aesthetic aspect to functional bodybuilding that you might find appealing. But for yourself, you know, and maybe somebody's in your boat, it's like, I want to do Awakened Training Series. I look forward to the continued growth. I'm going to do the open workouts. Well, you know, Friday's a good day to do your open workouts and do them, prioritize that on Friday, and then use the some of the movements, or maybe, you know, take the Friday training session and sort of pare it down a little bit and only do what is kind of complementary to what you just did in that open workout. So I think it works out that like a week 8 or 9 is when the open will start. And, you know, what you might want to do in week 5 or 6 or even 4 is, you know, maybe take whatever the conditioning piece is for the Awakened Training Series and start putting in some older past open workouts just to get you exposure to what it's going to feel like to do something like that. And then when it comes time for the open, you know, Friday comes around, go to the gym, do the open workout. If it crushes your soul, then just take the rest of the day off, skip Friday. If you get done and you feel like doing a little more training, go pick up with A1, A2, B1, B2, and then just skip the conditioning for the day on Friday. And, you know, Saturdays are not typically high-intensity days in Awaken Training Series. They're kind of a day to, you know, refine movements, do some bodybuilding, do some functional bodybuilding. Like, so it could be a good day to come in and just use the Saturday session to go at 70% and recover and get some good movement in, get a good pump, and recover from the open workout the night before.
Awesome. So if people are, again, interested, the next round opens January 1st, correct?
January 1st, we open registration. It's a 7-day registration cycle. So you'll have until the 7th to get your registration in. And then we kick things off Monday, January 8th. You'll be training, and that will take you all the way through the end of March.
Got it. And so is it still open for the 3-month period, or are you looking also to open up, I guess, a different way in terms of a person to be able to sign up for a full 12 months?
Yeah, we're going to be selling all 4 programs individually, right? Mm-hmm. That's how we do it every time. There will be an option for people to basically commit to the full training year. So 1 through 4. So we'll discount that a little bit for those people that, you know, are ready to make that commitment to themselves and to us. And likewise, if you just finished 1.0, you're coming off 1.0, there'll be an option to purchase at a discounted rate the remainder of the 3 series, or the remainder of all 4 that you haven't done yet. So really we now have this option to give people who are ready to commit to a longer term training program this continuation. So it'll be there for them.
Awesome, awesome. If for our new listeners or new followers, where can people find you? How can they contact you?
Yeah, that's so on social media, that's, you know, where I'm putting out a lot of my content. Mm-hmm. So Instagram is my main platform. Just my name, Marcus Philly. I also have the handle functional.bodybuilding, and that is really a movement library of all the different stuff I've been working on myself and cooking up in my brain for the past year. I think there's a couple, maybe 300 posts on there now. And then our website, revival-strength.com, is the home of where Awaken Training Series is sold, and then also our individual coaching business. So you should head there and sign up for our email list. It is where we send out 2 to 3 monthly emails with content on how functional bodybuilding can be used, what you can learn from it, sample training programs, nutrition tips. I definitely put a lot of energy and time into developing those emails that go out. So I think it's a worthwhile email list to be a part of. A lot of free content coming your way if you register for that. And you get 3 free days of the Awaken Training Series downloaded if you sign up for our email list. So you guys can go and experience what 3 days of it feels like. And then hopefully it inspires you to sign up in January.
Yeah, and another thing, when you sign up for the newsletter, so this is my plug, is there's a good lead up to the Awaken Training Series too. That kind of goes over some of the movements that you'll be performing during the program, and explains why you do them and how to do them as well. So, which is pretty neat. Marcus, thank you again, sir. Thank you for taking the time.
Thanks so much for having me again. I appreciate it every time, and I love these conversations with you. They're great.
Thank you, man. And before I let you go, just to let people know that you literally took this on last minute's notice. So again, speaks to the kind of awesome person that you are. So thank you, sir.
Thank you. We'll talk soon, okay?
Definitely. Take care.
Bye. Bye.
Another amazing episode in the books, fam. If you enjoyed the episode, please take a moment to leave a rating and review on iTunes, Stitcher, or Google Play. If you are new to the show, don't be afraid to check out other episodes. And if you dig the content, go ahead and hit that subscribe button. If you ever have any questions, feedback, or you just want to hit us up, please don't hesitate. email address is contact@UnchartedPerformance, or you can hit me up directly at powell@UnchartedPerformance.com, Facebook and Instagram at Uncharted Performance, and if Twitter is your thing, at Reach Uncharted. And give us a follow and tag us to let us know who and where you are. As always, thank you for listening and supporting the podcast, and talk to you next week. Cheers, guys.